God has given us much evidence. He has given us more than enough evidence to believe there is a God. But we do believe some things based solely on the evidence that we do have and evidence that we expect to see in the future. I learned this week about a city that's mentioned because of faith. It's in verse 30 of Hebrews 11. And maybe you've never seen this before, but I began to study about this. Hebrews contains a long list of men and women of faith who did great things for God. And it talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and the children of God keeping the Passover and so forth. But when it comes to verse 30, and this is part of their journey into the promised land, he says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now I want you to catch that. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. The title of today's message is The Fall of Jericho. Why did the walls of Jericho fall down? I did what some of you like to do. I Googled Fall of Jericho. I don't believe something simply because it's on the internet, and you shouldn't either. There's a lot of discussion about Jericho, and even where Jericho, the biblical Jericho, is located, and whether or not they have the exact site located that is described in Scripture. Then there are those who are not biblically oriented who come up with descriptions of the destruction of this archaeological site as being with alien influence, or the walls fell down because of an earthquake at such and such a time. And the major studies that have been done on the remains of ancient Jericho create a lot of controversy in themselves, because the archaeologists that have been digging there since the mid-late 1800s, I don't remember the exact date, they don't agree themselves as to when Jericho fell. They would like to, the biblical scholars would like to place it somewhere about the time, of the Exodus, a little bit later. And one group of experts placed it much earlier than that, and another group of experts placed it much later than that, so it could not possibly have fit in with the biblical story in Joshua. Now, I know you're going to agree with me, because we are a biblically based fellowship here, and we believe what the Bible says. I know God did not have to have Joshua and the armies to surround the city for 7 days in order for that city to be destroyed. Just with the touch of an angel's finger, or with even the thought of God, he could have caused it all to fall down and disintegrate and never be anymore. But the Bible description is, in verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 5. The city of Jericho has a reputation of being a city very much like Nineveh that Jonah was commissioned to go and to preach for their conversion. Jericho was a sin-filled, violent place of inappropriate worship and activity. A pagan center of worship to the moon goddess, Ashtaroth. It was a headquarters for evil. It was a walled, fortified, commanding center designed by military men to withstand any kind of attack common in that day. They've just crossed over into the promised land. Joshua has taken over the command and he wants to do what's right. I think of Joshua as one of these men who just, as we use the expression, he could not sit still. A person of action. Even more so than the comedian who's been made famous by saying, "Get her done." Jericho's doors have been closed. Nobody's going in, nobody's coming out, because the people inside of Jericho have heard the history of the Israelites. They've heard how God has intervened and even destroyed Pharaoh's army, the waters of the Red Sea. They know how this Jehovah God had separated the waters of the Jordan River as they've now come over close to the city of Jericho. Not exactly frightened and scared, but certainly very much aware of this million count group of people who were standing nearby. And so they've closed their fortifications and their spies are walking along the walls of that city. Joshua, verse 13. Joshua says here in chapter 5 and verse 13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, 'Are you for us or against us? Are you friend or foe?'" Verse 14. Do you notice the word "he" is capitalized there? The translators of different denominations today, and even when this King James was translated, they didn't just say, "Well, let's capitalize this one and not capitalize that one." They had a reason. This was an encounter with Jesus Christ, God Almighty. It says here, "As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" It is a sin to worship anything that is not God. Would you say amen? It was a sin to worship idols of stone and of wood like the inhabitants of Jericho had become famous. Joshua falls down before Jesus and he says, "What news do you have for me?" And what he was told first was not uncommon. Let me just read it. He said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your feet. Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground." It was holy because God made it holy. Nothing can be made holy without the presence of God there. And so Joshua, in submission, takes off his footwear. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, in the New Testament it's behold, but he says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Now, catch it. God says to Joshua, I have given you the city. You are going to march around the city, but I'm giving it to you. When did God give it to Joshua? When did God promise Joshua, I'm going to give you victory to conquer this city? Right there with his shoes off, standing on holy ground. Joshua fully emptying himself. Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. And God says at that day, I'm giving you Jericho. It is yours. God gave it to him on that day. You agree? Did he receive it that day? God gave it, but he would receive it at God's timing. Here's what God said to Joshua, and I'm going to read this quickly. He said in verse 3, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once, and this you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall then shout with a mighty shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. No mention of any alien aircraft. No mention of any plates of the earth coming together and causing an earthquake at such and such a time. The biblical record is God said it's going to happen, and it would come to pass when God proclaimed that it would. And it did. Joshua has this conversation with God Almighty. Now Joshua has to go to his people, and he tells them what God has said to him. And so they line up. Must have been an interesting thing. They take the Ark of the Covenant. They have the men playing the trumpets. They have the priest of God. They have the men of war. They have the tribes of Israel carrying their standard or their flag with the symbol of their particular tribe. And they march around Jericho. And then they go back home. The watchmen on the walls of Jericho stretched their heads. What's this going to do to us? This is nothing. And the next day, the people of God do the same thing, about the same time. They walk around the city of Jericho. They don't throw stones. They don't shoot any arrows. They don't command the God of heaven to come and help them. They just go back home. And then there's the 3rd day and the 4th day. Now you know enough about human nature to kind of get into the story right here. I wish I didn't have to get up this morning and go march around that old Jericho city. My back hurts. Those rocks are sharp on the north corner of Jericho. Why do we have to do this anyway? God's already told Joshua that it's ours. We've already marched 3 times. Now we have to go 4 times. You can just hear it, can't you? This is one of the rare events in the history of these people. It causes me to lean the direction that all of the people were on board on this occasion. That they each one had a heartfelt desire to do what God had asked them to do. I believe God could have accomplished everything even without their help. But God could have certainly have done it the first day just as easily as He would do it the 7th day. But God directed that they should do it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then they would do it a 7th time. Notice verse 15 with me. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. This must have really shook up everybody inside Jericho. You know, we ourselves have come up with some scientific explanations. That in the marching of so many people, the thunderous roar of footsteps around stone would create vibrations. And at a certain step mark in time, that the vibrations would be so strong that it would cause the city walls to just fall flat. Now, God invented the laws of nature. God could use vibration. But there's no vibration on earth created by human feet alone that could cause huge blocks of stone. And I forget how many tons. Seemed like 40 or 50 tons some of those stones weighed. And we're talking about a fortified city. City walls with towers built in the corners. Here, let's keep reading. Verse 15. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. That's in verse 15. Verse 16 says, and the 7th time it happened. What is the it? It happened. The priest blew the trumpets. Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord God has given you the city. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. It happened. It happened on time and on schedule. It could have happened in day 1 or 2 or any number of those 7 days. God was not waiting on the vibration of the earth at the 7th time around the city on the 7th day for the laws of nature to be lined up so that the walls fell in. It could never happen without the power of God Almighty moving the city inward, moving the walls over. Now, we started with a text in Hebrews 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. This city had to be taken. It would prove that Jehovah God was stronger than the gods of Ashtaroth and it was for God's benefit to prove to the thousands of other people in other cities watching the advancement of God's people that God was the strongest power on earth. Using His wisdom, He designed it so that God's people would be able to capture the city, but He, in return, could receive all of the glory. Now that's a good thing. I would think, though, this man we told the story of over here, his name was Achan, remember that? He was in that group that went into the city, and he stole the Bible describes it as a Babylonian garment, and the silver and the gold. Why did he do such a thing? Evidently, he had been part of that group who, under the direct command of God, had marched around the city, had shouted at the appropriate time, and as the walls had fallen in, he went in saying, "Praise God, amen, hallelujah, we've taken the city." And in the next chapter, we find him being stoned to death. He didn't make it. I think in reality there's a lot of Jerichos. A Jericho being something that we can't get away from, that we have to deal with, and it's too wide to go around, too tall to go over, and too deep to go under. What's the rest of that? Too thick to go through. In other words, there are circumstances that come to us as gloomingly powerful as Jericho was to those people, it is to us today. There's no way to do anything with it, except with whatever knowledge God gives us to deal with it. I constantly go to this theme. It's ever present in my mind when I start working on and thinking about a sermon. Because religion is not, it doesn't mean anything. It's not effective if it doesn't make an impact in the person's life. It's just words on paper. You know what the rest of the book of Hebrews talks about? It names those people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Moses, then Samson, Barak, Gideon, and all of that. But it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. When you became a Christian, maybe it happened at an altar. The pastor or some speaker gave an invitation. For those who had never given their lives to Christ, will you please come and let's kneel together and we'll let the people of God pray the devils out of here. Maybe your mother, your daddy, a school teacher, a friend, somebody led you to Christ. For some of us, that's been a long time ago. I said, for some of us, that's been a long time ago. God gave the promise. There's a city that's yours. It's a heavenly city. We call it the New Jerusalem. My people shall not be destroyed. You're interested in prophecy? It says, and this kingdom shall last forever. That's the kingdom I'm talking about. Promise given whenever you received Christ. And for some of us, it's been a lot longer than 7 days. I wish it was only 7 days. I wish it was only one Jericho. The truth and reality is, we're like the people in Hebrews 11. You are. You are just as good as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Noah. Do you believe me? Because God says you are. God says He is not ashamed to call you brethren. He's not ashamed to have you in His family. He's gone to prepare a place for you. The problem is staying with it and holding on to the promise from the time that it's given to us until eternity begins down here. I don't mind telling you. My heart aches for people who suffer. Now, we have to be strong. We can't be an ignoramus about this, but I hear the stories of somebody going into a kindergarten room and just boom, 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 boom. I'm not so callous that it doesn't bother me. What was it, 27 or 28 people eventually? Even the man even killed his own mother. Now, come on. What's wrong? The love of many shall wax cold. All of this comes into play. But you live in a constant world of scoffers that say to you, everything's just like it's always been, nothing has changed, and Jesus still hasn't come. It doesn't matter. You cannot spiritually, rationally explain why certain things happen. But by faith, you can believe who's going to win on the other side. And that's God's people. Don't drop out of the camp, dear brother. If you're not in the camp, get in the camp. If you need to give your life to Christ and you don't know how, you should take the first step and just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I want to be a Savior, but I've lived a life. I don't really know how. That's kind of what Joshua was doing. Standing in the very presence of God, and God just, He just told him, let go of that which is not right. You have a place, and the brethren sang about it, and Don sang about that great place. It was even in the memory verse today. There shall be no more sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, or any of those things, because they've all passed away. Now, somehow, you have to have enough faith to stay with the program. From the time you receive Christ, all the way through teenage years, or marriage, or broken relationships, or broken finances, or bad health, or whatever. That's the 7 days. Okay? I don't know why. And don't somebody, don't tell me the number 7's perfect. I know that. It was because God said it and it happened that way, and I'm just going to stay with it. And from what happens down here in our journey toward the land of promise is going to determine whether or not we're part of that group or whether we are like Achan. I think everybody struggles with sin. Maybe secret sin. We don't talk a lot about idolatry and adultery and lust and covetousness and pride. I'd rather talk about honesty and integrity. In God's way of doing things, He takes people and allows people to go through experiences, not to punish them, but for one or two or both reasons. He has the way to build faith of the person going through the experience, or that person builds faith and the name of God is glorified also in the process. That's what happened when Jericho was taken over. God's name was glorified, and Joshua was lifted up as their leader. Now, I've learned something else. The story of the people of God is not always the story of victory. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. We're going to close with this right here. Somehow, you must recognize this fact of Scripture. In Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 36, And I suppose just like some of us could fit into the other category, some of us could fit into this area too. Hebrews 11, verse 36. He says, "Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed to. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They had to wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." How many of you want to be in that group? Raise your hand. No, we don't want to be there, but it may happen, right? I don't wish to be placed in a hollow log and sawed in two, Bruce. Yet these people are mentioned in the roll call of faith. God had not deserted them when all this was taking place. You cannot spiritually figure it out why it had to happen. But I tell you what you can figure out, Roy, is what's going to happen down here on the other end of the story. When these who have all died, who looked for a city, but they died without having received the promises. The Bible says that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's a promise. A glorious promise. Write it down. Put it in your pocket, in your billfold. Wrap your hands around it. Put it in your heart. Satan has come to rob and to steal and to kill and to destroy and to cause pain and suffering and to pull you away from victory in your life. And our Jerichos are of many different definitions. But you have one Savior, one way to victory, and that's through Christ Jesus. Jesus is still interested in saving people. If you want victory in your life, you can have it today. If you want your name retained in the book of life, just thank Him for it. If you've already given your life to Christ and been baptized, praise His holy name. Praise Him every day. Praise Him in tragedy. Praise Him in sorrow. Praise Him when you face the walls of your Jericho. I would like to be able to praise Jesus' name today for those here who would be willing to say, you know, Wendell, I've not lived my life like I should, but from this day forward, I really would like to live for Jesus.